What does it mean to be an imitator of Christ? Hi, I'm Mike Mason. This is the St. Joseph Society podcast. The St. Joseph Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ as they grow strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to check out more about us, you can see us online at stjosephsociety.org. This is the St. Joseph Bootcamp, episode 35. Guys, in this week's episode, we are going to talk about the second of the three ways of the interior life, namely the illuminative way. Now, 2 weeks ago, I introduced you guys to the concept of the three ways of interior life. The three ways of interior life, as we discussed, are a pathway or an ascendancy to where a person grows into more intimate and loving union with God. Now, last week, we looked at the first way of the interior life, which is the purgative way. We discussed the nature and purpose of the purgative way, which is kind of clipping our attachment to mortal sin. We're overcoming mortal sins. We are setting our life up not to put ourselves in a near occasion of sin. We talked about different categories of beginners, and then also the first and most important task of beginners, namely the purifying of the soul. Okay, this week, as I said, we're going to look at the second level of the interior life, which is the illuminative way. Now, as I've discussed in previous episodes, biologically, we can divide life into three stages. We have childhood, adolescence, and adulthood. The moral life also, we can divide in three stages. Moral childhood, where things like rules and punishments and rewards predominate. You have moral adolescence. During moral adolescence, a child starts to embrace the virtuous life for its own good and for its own sake. And then moral adulthood is when someone commits themselves to a great cause. Well, just like there's this childhood, adolescence, and adulthood in the biological moral life, there's also the same progression in the spiritual life. So spiritual childhood would be the purgative way, as we discussed last week. And then adolescence, the illuminative, and the adulthood would be the unitive, which we'll cover next week. Now, these three phases, in order for someone to ascend through those, God has to motivate us to keep moving, okay? What you find at each phase is a person will get comfortable in the phase or stage they're in. And gentlemen, when someone is comfortable, they don't move. Okay, I coach sports, and there's nothing like a good loss to motivate the guys and get guys moving, right? Because the discomfort of losing pushes us to get better. Well, this is also true in the moral and spiritual life, is that when you ascend through these three levels, biologically, morally, and spiritually, there has to be discomfort, has to rouse a person to move to the next phase. So let's look at the purgative way. When a person's living a life of sin, committed to sin, like, you know, I've admitted in these podcasts that I did when I was a young man, sin makes you feel very uncomfortable because sin ruins your life. It drives you into the ground. That discomfort motivates a person to try a new path. And this is where God will come in and this first conversion will take place. And this first conversion is when God breaks the chains of mortal sin through baptism or through the powers of the sacrament of confession, reconciliation. He breaks that power and a person enters the beginning phase. In this beginning phase, God's going to teach the person new habits in prayer, mortification, penance, and things we talked about last week. What happens in the purgative way is God not only breaks the attachment to sinful things that we used to find pleasurable, but now we no longer do. God also, to kind of reinforce this new life, will give sensible consolations to the person. These are like the warm and fuzzies a person get when they get serious about their faith. If you ever meet someone who really like puts their faith life into gear in the purgative way as a beginner, they get really excited about the faith. There's lots of reinforcement, and those are really good and wonderful things. However, a person, as they reach kind of the end stage of the purgative way, one of the dangers is they will start to fall in love with the warm and fuzzies of the spiritual life, kind of those good feelings and sensible consolations. They fall in love with those and they start losing a vision of pursuing our Lord. So what God will do at this phase is he does what's called the dark night of the senses. What that is he pulls back the feelings we get from pursuing him. And it's kind of a test at that point, because what God's trying to get the person to do is not chase the feelings, but to chase him. And so as he pulls those feelings back, it's kind of a dangerous point. It's kind of a little crisis. What a person needs to do is push through that moment, okay, and really commit themselves to loving our Lord. If they navigate that moment well, okay, they will enter what's called the illuminative way. And so as we're going to discuss the nature of the illuminative way, is God's going to stop, you know, not stop, but he's going to not predominantly address a person through their mind and thoughts. He's not going to address them through their feelings and emotions. He wants to settle our commitment to our Lord in our wills. Okay. Put it in a deep-seated conviction. And for that deep-seated conviction to take place, he has to remove those kind of immature surface level feelings and thoughts and really root the spiritual life. And that's what the illuminative life is for. So this week, as we discuss illuminative life, we're going to talk about the nature of the illuminative way. We're going to talk about the two classes of souls at this stage, and then basically just a basic program to be followed that we'll look at in far greater depth in the future. But let's start with some scripture. It's always a good place to start. We're going to start with St. Paul, what he says about the illuminative way. This is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. St. Paul says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 17, St. Paul says this, "Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature," notice the mature thing there, "be thus minded. And if in anything you are otherwise minded, God will reveal that to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brethren, join in imitating me and mark those who so live as you have an example in us." Okay, a couple things to point out here. Notice in Philippians chapter 3, St. Paul says, "I forget what's behind and I strain forward to what's ahead." This is a great summary of the difference between the illuminative way and the purgative. Okay, in the purgative way, we are clipping our attachment to mortal sin. So when you get near the end of the purgative way, most of your mortal sins, you're not really doing those anymore. And if you do it, it's sparingly, and you're repenting, you know, very promptly. You're also clipping your attachment to sin by cutting off the near occasions, right? So if you used to hang out at, you know, the bars or something like that, you're not doing that anymore. You're not putting yourself in situations where sin can happen. You're doing penance for the sins you committed in the past. You're doing mortification to kind of square up your will and discipline the appetites for the future, okay, as a faithful follower of our Lord. That's what the purgative way is. That's what dealing with what was behind. When you go into the illuminative way, now we're straining towards what's ahead. The illuminative way is less negative in the sense of worrying about, you know, the past sins and faults. And it's more positive in the sense of we're going to try to adorn ourselves with Christian virtues. We are then going to struggle, okay, to become like Christ. So the main difference between the purgative and illuminative way is this. Beginners in the purgative way struggle against sin and its causes. Okay. Souls at the level of the illuminative way still practice penance and mortification. We don't leave that behind. But we're struggling at the illuminative way to become more like Christ. Okay, so you kind of see that it's a subtle difference, but it's a difference in the will and the way it's ordered. Okay. Now, when we enter the illuminative way, there's going to be two classes of souls that enter it. Okay, so notice here in each of these three ways, guys, when you're in that way, there's going to be kind of a grade, okay, a range of people in each of these, and you're going to be able to put people in classes. So in the illuminative way, you have what are called devout souls, and you have what are called fervent souls. Now, everybody at this stage, of course, is a pretty, really serious Christian, okay? So both of these guys, people that fit in these categories, you know, they're living a good Christian life, but there is a distinction between the two. Devout souls have a good will, okay? They're ambitious to do good. They try to avoid deliberate faults, okay? So there's a lot of good there. The problem with the devout soul is they lack constancy, okay? They can't do it day in and day out, okay? Week in and week out, month in and month out. And so they really, they make progress kind of slow because they're very slow plodding along, okay, since they lack that constancy. This is a person who's in like really, you know, pretty good shape working out, but they still miss workouts from time to time. They cut reps short and they're just not advancing as fast as they could because they're not as locked in as they should be, okay? People who are devout souls like this, they need to cultivate humility, okay, to recognize they can't do it on their own. They need God to work through them. And fortitude so that when the Christian life gets a little challenging, they can push through it, okay? A fervent soul, these people are more humble than devout souls because they recognize God has to do this work, okay? And they recognize that they can't do it and only he can. And they are very generous in offering themselves to God, okay? They distrust themselves and have confidence in God, but they're very energetic and constant in practicing virtues. So these are the guys they're doing, to get their sports analogy, day in and day out, putting those reps in, okay? Putting those spiritual reps in, and they've got energy to keep going. Now, these guys sound like, you know, they're just saints. The problem at this level for the fervent soul, for all the, you know, good qualities they have, is their virtue hasn't been solidified by trial, okay? They also need to, they have to keep working on detaching themselves from anything hindering them from being in a closer union with God, okay? So the fervent souls, they're rocking and rolling, okay? They're moving along. The problem is there's still these kind of attachments, maybe to minor venial sins or to things, you know, that aren't sinful. They're good, but they're kind of getting in the way of what God wants to do. They're not dealing with those. When God's going to try to move these classes of souls onto the unitive way, in to go into the purgative way, he clips that dark night of the senses, right? Clips our attachment to the pleasures. When you transition from the illumined to the unitive, it's what's called the dark night of the soul. At this point, God's presence, not only do you not feel it, a lot of people at this stage will wonder if God has left them all together. Now, he hasn't, but what he's doing by kind of pulling his presence back, okay, his felt presence back, is what he's doing is trying to solidify their virtue by that trial. And if they navigate that trial well, they're going to take off into the unitive way, which we'll talk about next week, okay? So we have devout souls and fervent. Now, whether we are categorized as devout or fervent, what sort of program should we follow? Okay, so what should we be doing at this phase? Well, first, a man needs to make Christ the center of his thoughts. The purgative way is a way where a guy, when he's into prayer life, he's very thought-oriented, okay? In the illuminative way, your thoughts are going to, in some sense, become more simple. Okay? You're going to meditate on these great truths of the faith, all right? But Christ is going to become the center of your thoughts. As he becomes the center of his thoughts, where you simplify your thoughts of him, but they deepen, they're going to deepen into conviction in the will, okay? So what happens at this stage is we think about God and we meditate on what the cross means and what his presence in the Eucharist is and his scourging at the pillar and all these mysteries of the rosary and things. And it's going to settle conviction in us to devote ourselves wholeheartedly to Christ to be like him, okay? So Christ is going to take fully central role in a man's mind in the illuminative way. The second thing a guy needs to do at this level is to practice what's called affective prayer. Active prayer is a type of prayer where the affections predominate. Okay. What do I mean by that? In the purgative way, you tend to think about God. Your prayers are very wordy. Okay. Very, very wordy. You talk a lot. You think a lot. Affective prayer is when your devotion, gets rooted in your will, that you desire to glorify God and to be like him. Okay. Obviously, you're still going to be thinking at this level, but it's really moving itself down into the will where it solidifies where you are being solidified as an apostle of our Lord. You're going to follow him where he goes. Okay. As you do this, you're going to want to become like him in all things. And this is where you start this new deep rooted conviction. You start rooting it in the practice of the moral and theological virtues. Okay, this is when you make a turn from what sin was doing and you turn. And now I'm going to adorn myself with the virtues of Christ, which is the moral virtues. Okay, the cardinal virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. And then the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. All right, you're going to start becoming like Christ. And so as we get into future podcasts, we're going to talk a lot more about the illuminative way. And when we talk about, we're going to look at what kind of prayer life this is going to look like. We're going to talk in depth about what it means to live the moral virtues and theological virtues. We're also going to discuss in future podcasts the counterattacks of the enemy. Satan does not want you guys to make progress in this. So at this phase in the spiritual life, he's going to attack. Okay. And the saints give us insight on how he's going to attack and how to beat it. And so these are topics we're going to discuss in the future. And so, gentlemen, as we wrap up, I want to challenge you again. Stay with us coming in June. Okay. I've got a ton of awesome topics to discuss in the podcast. Your priest wants to raise up a godly generation of men in your parish to transform your parish, the families in it, and the community. So stick with them, stick with us, and God's going to do some amazing stuff. Also, be praying that memorare to St. Joseph for the intention of the society, which is that God would raise up a generation of godly men who would take on the mantle of leadership which he's given them. All right. I think we'll stop there, but I hope you guys have a blessed week, and I'll see you next week.